Okay, so let's pick up tonight's Os Beis. Back in, it should look like this page. The little gimel on the top. Should be towards the beginning of the little packet. One more. There you go. Okay, so we have our, again, what we started, what we began with were the words of the Chovas HaLevavos, the words of the duties of the heart. I wanted to send you guys the introduction, and when I looked it up, it's about 30 pages in English. It was like 60 pages outside. So it was a little bit too long just to photocopy and have you read. So maybe we'll have to do like a separate study.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Do you have a scanner?
Yeah, the shul has one.
So maybe, I mean, actually, it may be like a pain for you to do 36 pages of scanning, but I mean, you can scan it into the PDF, or
and then just
I can come over one day and scan it if you
I
want.
I can do it if you don't have time.
Yeah, I'd love it if something. I mean, no, I can just give you that.
Now we can each be responsible for printing it ourselves or something like
great.
That.
Great. Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay.
So we'll do that. We will do that. It's an excellent introduction. I recommend it. Just that's a good way to do it. Fine. So in any case, we started with his introduction. In his introduction, he established that the body and the soul, one he defined as seen. The body is seen. The soul is not seen. And therefore, there are two types of avodas, two types of services that we are required to do. One is a service which is seen, one which is unseen. And what we're setting about to understand a little bit better is the nature of these two different types of avoda and why there are two. Remember, the question that we asked is, why did Hashem create us in that way in which we have these two elements of us? We have the physical, the seen, the spiritual, the unseen. We're not just one unified. We're a combination of those two. And how do we both go about serving Him when the purpose, He said, was to elevate the body so that it is fit to stand before the King, even the body is. What does that leave us? What's the purpose then of the soul service in conjunction with that? The soul who is most appropriate, most fit to praise Hashem because it has the same elements. How does this all fit together? That's where we're going to pick up now, trying to answer some of those questions. Now that we are where we are at, Shuma Aleinu Levo'er Be'ezras Hashem Es HaYachas Be'Neshama V'Guf Ba'Avoda. Now we are up to understanding the relationship. Yachas is an important word. Yachas means a relationship. What is the relationship between the body and the soul in our Avoda? Hainu, meaning Bein Chovas HaIvorim Uvein Chovas HaLevavos. What's the relationship between our physical obligations, our requirement to put on the talis and tefillin, the requirement to daven, the requirement to build a sukkah and shake a lulav and hear the shofar, versus the relationship with our requirements to have certain thoughts, certain beliefs, certain understandings of things? Hare Mitzad Echad, on one side, Kol HaTachlis Tzluya V'Chovas HaIvorim. Isn't everything about V'Chovas HaIvorim? Isn't everything about keeping kosher? Keeping Shabbos. Isn't that what it's about?
What is Evarim
meaning? Evarim are the physical limbs, our bodily Evarim. That's the goal, that's the purpose. Everything is about becoming Shomer Shabbos, right? That's what becoming Shomer Kashrus. Now I keep kosher. Taras HaMishpacha, the laws of family purity, all of these things are things which, that's what it's about. Sheheim heim hamikadashim es haguf. And we mentioned, what's the purpose? What do those things accomplish, all of those mitzvahs? Those are sanctifying the body, which is created in a thick darkness, was the words that we used earlier. And we use the mitzvahs to sanctify the body. Misalkin mimenu asachele karot, removes from the body the aspect of evil in it. Umevian also lide ha'ora atzmis, and brings it to a place in which it's enlightened. Where the body itself can reveal the kvod shemayim, the honor of Hashem, the glory of Hashem. So we take a body, which is in itself created in a way that it would not necessarily allow the light to pass through it, so to speak. In the example that we use where a person's right, their face shines from the inner spiritual essence. Body is not created in such a manner. And the chovas ha'ivarim, the mitzvahs that we do with our body, its purpose, those mitzvahs are to somehow sanctify the body, to allow itself, the body, to be a source of kvod shemayim, to be a source of the honor, the glory of Hashem's presence. That's, on the one hand, that's the purpose and goal of the physical mitzvahs which we do. Me'idoch, and on the other side, haridavka ha'neshama, we say, wait a minute. But which part of our being is most fit and appropriate to serve Hashem? That's the neshama, because it's the neshama which has the five elements which are similar to Hashem, as the Gemara said, and therefore it's the Neshama which sings praises. So he says, well, how does this work? On the one hand, I have a body. I need to purify, sanctify the body, and I've been given mitzvahs to do, which will accomplish that. And on the other hand, which part of my essence is really most appropriate for serving Hashem? It's my neshama, my chovas halavavos, the obligations, the duties of my heart that are most appropriate through my neshama to serve Hashem. How does that work? How do those fit together? And where do we start? How do we start? How does this work? So the first thing says, you have to know, Ein Dvoreinu Amurim, in the second paragraph, B'misha Choytef Mitzvos. I am not speaking to people who literally, that means grabs mitzvos. Chumrapo V'hanhaga Sham. So he's speaking here to people in yeshiva. And he's saying, speaking to us also, but he's speaking for this word, he sees it manifest. I'm not talking to people who don't have a program. It's just, oh, I'll do this chumrah. Oh, and now there's this mitzvah. I'll do that mitzvah. Oh, and I'll take this. And it's a haphazard potpourri of stuff. And you'll find people who have, all of a sudden they're, you know, they're, maybe they're the tzitzis out, and chal of Yisrael, and they're not showing up to shachris. He says, what's the program here? Why did you choose that chumrah? And you're showing up late to morning Seder, and well, no, that's not how it works. Because I'm not talking, this that we're about to discuss are not people who grab mitzvahs. They grab this one here, and grab this one there, a chumrah here, a chumrah there. Ela b'mishi yodeya, sheha'odom tzorech livnos atzmo va'avodos. So what does it mean to be a boneh? The word boneh, livnos. Boneh means to build. This is said for someone who understands that you need to build yourself. There's a program. There's a starting point. There's a foundation. And upon a foundation, you build a little bit higher. And upon that, you build a little bit higher. So you need to understand that growth is not a haphazard grabbing of ideas. Now, the reality is that that's how we learn and how we grow. If you put yourself in a community and you see, oh, I see that, I like that. Oh, and I see this, and I like that. But in reality, there really needs to be a growth. There needs to be a process. There needs to be a base from which we build up. So you need to know that. That's, first of all, in terms of being able to understand that. Let's go to the third paragraph. With that in mind, Yovo Mishayeshbo, he quotes now from the Gemara, which we've been basing this on. Yovo Mishayeshbo Chamisha Devarim Halalu, let the one who has these five things, V'yishaveach L'mishayeshbo Chamisha Devarim Halalu. That was a quote from the Gemara. Let the one, meaning the soul, which has the five parallels, come and give praise to he who it is similar to. That was the Gemara. That was the conclusion of the Gemara, right? There are five things and five things, and the Gemara concluded, let the one that has these come and give praise to that. Reishis avodoso shel ha'adam. What does the word reishis mean?
Beginning.
From the word, right? Bereishis. The beginning of the avoda of a person is, drum roll please, what is? Where do we start? So what is the starting point when I have this, I have the service of my body, there are mitzvahs that I need to do, I must put tefillin on my arms, I must wear tzitzis, I must keep kosher, I must keep Shabbos. I have these, the mitzvahs of the heart, I have to believe in Hashem, I have to trust in Him, I have to know that what He's doing is for the best, I have to not hate my friend and be jealous. I have all these things that are thought processes, have nothing to do with my physical being. So the first thing you need to do is l'mashesh ruchnius v'livnos es pnimiuso. L'mashesh means to feel. So usually, this is almost like a contradiction in oxymoron in phrases. When we use the word lemashesh, to feel, what does the word feel mean? It always gives a connotation of something physical, and you could actually feel. That's the way that we're used to. We use our five senses to perceive the world around us. Well, our five senses are things which allow us to perceive a physical world around us. We can touch, we can feel, we can see, we can smell. But it's something there. So he says your first step, our first step, is to feel ruchnius. Well, how do we define ruchnius? How do we define something spiritual?
Intangible.
Something you can't see. Can you see Hashem? You can't see Hashem. Can you see your soul? Can't see my soul. But there's a reality, which is what he said last week, was it's just as real as the table and the chair upon which you sit. The reality of the world of ruchnius is unseen, but it's there. Can't see Hashem, you can't see your neshama, but it's there. You have to learn how to feel ruchnius. What do you mean to feel ruchnius? The words don't make sense. You can't feel it. Since that's your starting point. The starting point of building ourselves as Jews, as humans, as servants of Hashem, is to learn what it means to feel ruchnius. Livnos as primus, or to build what we call primus. Primus means my inner world.
When you say feel spiritual, are you saying like be in a spiritual mood?
No. Hold on.
Okay. You're going to answer.
Yeah, I hope. Okay. That's what. That, I think, at the core of everything that we've been learning for the first 2 weeks and what we'll do until we finish this introduction, is hopefully arriving at what that means.
Okay.
I say that hopefully, meaning like I might, like this is a, as he's going to say, this is a constant process. Because it's easy for us to feel something real and tangible. But I believe that there's a Hashem and I can't see him. I believe that I have a soul and I can't see it. I got to get used to the fact that I live with that reality and I'm in contact with that. But that's not going to be using my five senses. So I got to learn another way of connecting with something which is not as easily as felt with my hands. Just an example to prove a point, and it's something that I used before, and Rabbi Tatz uses this example all the time. When you get to know a person, what are you really doing? You sit across with your wife, sit across with a friend, and you're speaking to a person, and there are muscles that are moving, there are physical things which I can observe are taking place, but there's something much more deeper and intangible that's taking place. You're getting to know a person. What does it mean you're getting to know them? What does it mean? Now I know you so much better. Now I've been married for almost a year, 2 years. I've been a roommate with. Now I really got to know the person. What does it mean? You understand them. I feel them, not in a way that I can actually feel with my hands, because you can't, but there's a connection that you're aware of who they really are beneath the physical body which houses us, and I understand the person. I know their likes, their dislikes, their idiosyncrasies, their shortcomings, their traits, their talents. I just know them. And the word feel is the wrong word. Mm-hmm. Although in English we actually use it where like I have feelings. I don't know where that came from. It's actually a little bit of a funny thing also. My feelings represent something which you can't touch. It's the same word that we use. I don't know the significance of that, but there's that concept. So we need to learn to know, recognize, and appreciate that concept of something which can't be seen, yet is there. And this, v'hi ha'avoda b'chovas halvavas. This is really our main avoda of the chovas halvavas, of the duties of our heart, our obligations to think, to feel, to believe in certain things. It's going to be the creation of building our inner world. That when we talk about that concept, also it's the same idea that, and I'm hoping I'm going to say this over accurately. Sometimes I want to use examples just to try to bring out a point. You run into a person and they're very shallow. Not because they're intellectually shallow. They're just shallow. It's all on the external. And there's nothing really deep inside a person. And then you run into a person and you right away, as soon as you meet them, you're like, there's a lot going on inside. That's a person who's thinking. It's a person who's analyzing, perceiving things. And what I'm getting on the outside as I talk with them, they're holding something back. They're not giving me who they are yet. That's a person who has what we would call pimios. He has an inner world that's his, and he's not so fast to share with you, mm-hmm. because it's his world. Now, a lot of us haven't built one, so we don't purposely hold it back, and we don't purposely let it out. That's an example. Remember, the first thing I asked, like, what do you think about it? If you're out, a Rebbe asked his Talmidim, go out, don't think about God, don't think about Torah, what do you think about it? We don't naturally say ourselves. We haven't built up an inner world. A little bit, we have a constant dialogue within our heads all day long, but whether or not we've actually considered it to be like a world that we built about ourselves, it's not a concept we're really comfortable with. We don't really get it. If someone were to say, okay, it's just you and me, let's talk, share your inner world, I don't know what I would say. I don't have that like mapped out really well, that I would say, okay, this is it. I don't share this with everybody. A little bit we do. We know the things that we don't like sharing, but it's mostly because we're embarrassed about them, not because we've really built up an inner world. So when he talks about this idea of feeling ruchnius, coming into touch and recognizing its presence and it's there, and building a world of pnimius, a world that's not just on the chutz, not just on the outside that you can see. I have a world inside that if you would keep me by myself for an hour a day, I would be okay with that. I have an inner world built up that allows me, that's not scary. For most of us, and I include myself, an hour by myself is like a scary proposition. What would I do? An hour? Like, and nothing to do, not looking at emails, not reading the news. Like, we all would crave an hour to ourselves. I know what you think. I would love an hour to myself. I don't mean, like, that you put the world aside, no one's going to bother you, turn yourself enough. Like, finally, because what do you want with that? You just want to be left alone so that you could take care of something or just get the nagging voice, whatever. I mean, going out specifically to spend an hour by yourself to contemplate something. Like, what? Where do I start? What should I think about? We're not there. We haven't built up a process of what we would actually work through had we been given that time. The goal is to have that. A person, human being, at the prime, principal state that he should be in, has an outer world that he presents to the outside world. I'm dressed well and I look appropriate and everything. But I also have an inner world that I'm familiar with, in touch with, and I share with the people I want to share with, or maybe I don't share with anybody, but it's there, and it's well developed. Okay, umigedre ha'avoda, this avoda, this concept, where does it start? Lifnos oiref, to turn one's neck, there's a phrase of, you know, like giving one's, you know, turning away, l'chol negia gashmis, anything that has a physical aspect to it, a physical reality, anything that you can see is going to be something which is going to be physical. Not to turn one's eyes to any benefit that is physical, which comes out, this phrase I love.
Could you read that again?
Yeah. I didn't even translate it once yet, so... not to turn our eyes to any benefit, any physical benefit which comes from that which people see us or can see us being mekayem a mitzvah. Let's take the most basic childish example. It's not so childish, but in this example it is. I see my child davening, and I say, wow, I'm so proud of you, here is a jelly bean. Standard chinuch practice, right? That's how we get children. What are we really doing when we do that? It's a way of showing our children what we value. I value your learning, davening, doing chesed, doing nice things. So I make a big deal about it, and I give you something so that positive reinforcement, you see that this is valuable to me. You want to get both my appreciation and my physical gifts. So he will hopefully continue to do it. That's standard chinuch in all aspects of life, and certainly in our religious life. Well, a lot of us never really grow out of that. We might grow out of jelly beans and chocolate. We might not. But even if we do, all that we do is we transfer a jelly bean and chocolate into something a little bit more adult-like. Whether or not it's a certain honor, whether or not it's recognition, whether or not it's, you know, you name it. But it's still that even as I am doing something positive, spiritual, some mitzvah, there is some other benefit that can be measured, which I see coming. So the starting point is, he says, to be able to remove from our spiritual pursuits physical benefits. So that when I'm doing something, it's between me and myself and Hashem. And it doesn't matter that anybody sees me. And I can tell you, I'm older than all of you. I am in a much more exalted religious position, rabbi of the community. And I can tell you that this is still there, without question, without shame or embarrassment. There is no question that when I walk on time into a minyan, it is a very active part of my thought process that people should say, oh, he was on time to minyan this morning. And if I walk in late, it has nothing to do with God. The dialogue that goes on about being on time or not on time is only about other external things which are not related to my inner world, but to others and their perception and what I will either gain or not gain. Delivering a sermon, delivering a class, being involved in all these things. It's very much a part of the world that we live in, how we'll be perceived, how you want to affiliate, which groups you want to be part of or not part of. So a starting point is within the spiritual acts that we do, removing that and developing where it is not dependent or affected in any way by what others will see, give us, whether or not it's in chocolate or in compliments or in looking at us in a certain way. All that you've done is you've taken something which is supposed to be between you and Hashem, and you've added an element where it has some other physical aspect. Okay, that's point number one. Uve Iker, but the principal point, he says, even more than what we just said, which I think is heavy enough, Lihis Ragel Be'emunos Hachai Roi. Now this is what our avodah is going to be. This is going to be our homework for the week. Is to Lihis Ragel. Lihis Ragel means to become accustomed, familiar, used to the fact in the emuna of the Chai Roi. The Chai Roi is a phrase referring to Hashem, the living seer. Hachai that lives, Roya is who sees. And what's this a reference to? Haroe ve'eino nira. Someone who's, someone. Hashem who sees, but does not, or is not, seen. This is the key, he says. This is the ikar. To get used to the fact that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam out there, a Hashem, a creator, who sees me, but I don't see him. Being used to the fact. If I ask you, intellectually, do you believe that there is a God? Yes. Can you see him? No. Oh, so you believe that there's something out there that sees you and that you don't see. Sure. How many times a day does it actually affect your life? How many times a day does a thought process run through your mind, I am being watched? Right? Well, not that much, and it does only the time, like, ooh, that might not be the best thing to do. But it's not a constant. And it needs to be built in, lehisragel, to get used to. It's a common thing. It's a running conversation that I have because someone is watching. And it's a thing that you could say, that I did a great thing. I gave nachas, he saw that. And I'm doing things, my life is being directed, not because Reuven over there is going to see me, and Reuven is going to say he came on time, but because there's the Chai Roi, the living seer, is watching me. And that is the essence of Ruchnius, the essence of the spiritual world we're trying to tap into and to build our own inner world, is a recognition that there is something out there which sees me, I don't see, and I'm going to get used to that. It's going to become part of my daily life, over the course of the things that I do throughout my day, whether I'm in working or I'm in school or I'm listening to a lecture, whatever that I'm doing, that I am aware of the idea that I am being watched, even though I can't see the person who is watching me.
So we should daily, or multiple times daily, acknowledge that.
Yes.
That's our homework.
Oh, yeah, we'll develop homework a little bit more than that, but yes, 100%. Just to get used to that, yeah.
So the idea is to, like what James said, constantly be thinking that we're being watched and basically act accordingly.
Yeah, and the first step is just recognizing it mentally.
In other words, just recognize it.
Yeah, just to be aware that I am in the presence of someone who is watching me. And I'm going to begin to learn what it means to develop an inner world, to develop what it means to feel Ruchnius, when I will learn to feel that. In other words, how do you start to learn to feel? I need to feel my neshama. Well, the starting point is like this. Just like in every field, every discipline, there's like course 101, and 201, and 301. 101 is, start from the top. There's a God. You believe that? Yeah. Okay, you could start with that. Let's learn to feel the presence that there's a God, which means that he sees me. Sounds simple enough. We all believe that intellectually. The question is, how often do we remember that from the time that you walk out of here on Thursday night and you walk back in the following Thursday night? How many times did that cross your mind? And it's not a lot. And I'm putting myself at the same table as you, despite the fact that my title might say otherwise. It's not enough. It's just not. So we feel the ruchnius. We'll come into touch with that more as we begin to develop that. Ha'omed al nekuda pnim is the one who is omed, one who comes to really stand, literally, on this idea, comes to recognize and appreciate this idea, and enters into the avodah tzvuna. Now you're going to enter into what it means to serve Hashem in a way that's hidden, in a way that's not revealed, because no one knows what's going through your mind. No one's aware of that. Then what happens, says Rav Olga, you will pull ruchnius into your external avodah. Remember, there are two types of avodah that we had. We had the physical avodah of our bodies, putting on the tzitzis, putting on tefillin, keeping kosher, keeping Shabbos, and then we have the avodah of our souls, of our hearts. What happens is, as you begin to get used to the thought that there is a chai roi watching me, there is somebody out there, and he's watching, what happens is, into your avodah gluya, into your physical acts, you begin to pull some of that into it. When you put on tefillin in the morning, so how many times do we think about Hashem as we're putting on a tefillin? So I will answer for myself, never. And it's not part of the thought process. It's, I need to put on my tefillin, and that's how it goes. There's not really a connection that somehow this act is related to Hashem. It's really not. I'm speaking just for myself. I put on tzitzis every morning, and it's just like putting on my socks. It really is. Put on my socks, put on my pants, put on my tzitzis, put on my shirt, and I leave the house. I'm just speaking to myself, and hopefully tomorrow morning will be better than it was this morning, but I could speak this morning. It was not any different than any other article of clothing that went onto my body. Well, that's a problem. There's a disconnect between the physical act that's being done and the spiritual act that really lies behind it. It's not there. Well, one develops the thought process, one becomes familiar with his world of ruchnius, well, then he will pull into his physical acts the avodah tzafuna, the hidden service, as well. And with this, uvazeh yagia l'tachlis, and here he will achieve his main purpose. And his main purpose is lahafoch gam chashechos haguf, to turn the darkness of the body into the ruchnius v'ha'oris panim, into a enlightened spiritual essence. Believe havchanas hapnimius, if you do not develop and have a discernment in your inner world, and without your hidden service of your mind and of your heart, then your body will always remain in its physicality. And you will not be successful v'lo yatzliach ha'oved l'romem avodoso hagluya sh'ti avoda ruchnius af. You will accomplish nothing throughout all of your physical acts, will not move the body an inch if it remains only a physical act of throwing on a pair of tzitzis, wrapping yourself in tefillin. If there's a disconnect between the spiritual underpinnings of that, it will not accomplish what it needs to accomplish.
So I'm sure he's going to go through and develop that thought, but so just to overview.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, what he has just said is that when we do our physical avodas, that we're supposed to basically acknowledge that God is watching us do it.
Yeah, it will be developed more, but he's saying,
but
conceptually,
that's for now.
Right. The conceptual idea is that if your physical act is only a physical act, it will not have the intended purpose of actually changing your physical being, because all that it was a physical act without, it was like a lifeless, almost physical act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the schar for a mitzvah is there regardless. The reward is not withheld. But in the big picture of what we're trying to accomplish, the body is not purified by mindless acts. There's an act that needs to be done, but there needs to be a soul behind the act,
mm-hmm,
to have the intended accomplishment of what the mitzvah needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
So to do it without it is lacking. Now I want to read the next paragraph as his example, not an example, he's going to show from the words of the Kovas HaLevavos elsewhere the impact of this idea. He writes as follows, at the beginning of now the fourth paragraph. This is going to explain the words of the Chovos Halvavos. He writes as follows: Habori Yisborach Hashem, Goimel al Hamaisa Hanira al Ho'evorim. He will reward for physical acts. Talis and Tefillin will be our classic examples. Vigmul Nireh Ba'olam Hazeh. He will reward for physical acts, physical reward in this world. Ugmul al Hamaisa Hatzafon Vahanistar, and the reward for acts or activities which are hidden and not revealed. Vigmul Nistar, so the reward for that will also be hidden, and that is received in the world to come. That's what he writes. Now this is a major problem. Why is this a major problem?
Well, I've heard it two different ways, but I've heard people say that you don't get any reward in the
world. That's correct. That is the Revolver. What's he talking about? This is the Chovos Halvavos, one of the early Rishonim, who writes clearly and explicitly, yes, for physical acts, you get physical reward in this world, and for spiritual acts, you get spiritual reward in the next world. Says Revolver Tzorach Ian. This is a tremendous difficulty. Because, for exactly the reason James just said, Schar Mitzvahs Bahai Al Malakka. There is no reward for mitzvahs in this world. There isn't. That's not the place where it's given. And he says the Gemara which says that, the Gemara which brings that as a rule, it's a policy. There's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Do you know on which mitzvah the Gemara says that? It's talking about Shiluach HaKein, the sending away of a mother bird. In order, before you take the egg, you send away the mother. And on that, the Gemara says, there's a whole maisa, there's a whole story over there where a person went to do it, and he fell off a ladder, and he died, and the Gemara had a whole question. The Gemara, in the course of the discussion there, brings the principle, there's no such thing as reward in this world. Says Revolver, that's a mitzvah that is done physically. It's a mitzvah that's, I can see you do it, you went up the ladder, you took away a mother bird, you took its eggs. And on that, the Gemara says, there's no such thing as a reward. So it says, like, everybody knows that Gemara. How could the Chovos Halvavos himself, the author of this work, say that there are physical acts which are given reward in the physical world and spiritual acts? What happened to the principle of the Gemara? Says Revolver, you know what I believe the answer is? He says, the answer is because the purpose of the mitzvahs is to unify the physical acts that we do, the Chovos HaEvarim, together with the Chovos HaLevavos, together with our inner world, the world of spiritual thoughts and understandings which take place within ourselves. So that, Shegam HaMaisa HaNigla, that the act which is done, which is a revealed act which can be seen, Yehafech LaMaisa Tzafon V'Nister, that even though it's a seen act, it's something you can visually see, but it really is inside an act that's full of inner workings, hiddenness, that which I can't see, mole neshama, umole emuna, filled with the neshama, filled with your soul, and filled with emuna. So that, says Revolver, two people could be putting on tefillin side by side. One is putting on tefillin thinking about the game he saw the night before, and one is putting on tefillin with his thoughts in a place which is elevating the physical act into a totally different area. Says Revolver, the Chovos HaLevavos is saying, a maisa hanira al ha'ivorim. If all that it is an act that I can see, and it ends there, that's all you did. You put on your tzitzis like you put on your socks, which means that the act can be defined as something that I can see. There was nothing behind it. There was nothing which wasn't seen. The entirety of the mitzvah can be defined by what I just saw. You put on tzitzis. What was going on through your head? Zilch. Well then, that act, which is and only is something which is seen, do you know where that will be rewarded? That will be rewarded in this world, because it was a this-worldly act. It doesn't have any connection to the next world. It doesn't have any spiritual bearings. So an act which doesn't have any spiritual bearings, for sure Hashem gives us reward. But that reward will be given in this world. Spiritual acts, be it purely Chovos HaLevavos, be it the physical act that we do with a spiritual component on that, the Gemara says, there's no such thing as reward in this world because it's not related to this world. That's an otherworldly or next-worldly act, and that will actually be only rewarded in the next world. But what he's saying is a tremendous novel and significant idea that a physical act that is only physical and has no inner workings of mind. There's no olam pnimi. There's no world of inner workings of an internal building of a person, of thoughts, of understanding that this, of the significance of what it is. It's just put on my socks, I put on my tzitzis, I wear my tefillin, and I eat kosher. There's nothing that goes into any of that stuff. Well, then that will be rewarded, says the Chovos HaLevavos, in this world.
So is he saying that, like, if you have these thoughts and raise your thoughts when you're doing tefillin, that you would get the reward for both of the, for is it, raising your thoughts, is that a mitzvah? Like it's an avoda.
Yeah.
Is it a mitzvah? He said.
So the mitzvah is to wear tefillin.
So would you get reward in Olam Haba for the tefillin because you did it while you were raising your thoughts?
Yes.
Like you would get
right. Then the whole act.
So you get reward for both of them.
Right. Then you really only get in the next world. Then there's no
right.
promise that you'll be rewarded in this world. Right.
Right.
Then both of the acts are become unified.
Because you elevated it.
Right. And then the Chovos HaLevavos elevates the physical act so that now your body is affected
right.
in a way that we're talking about purifying, sanctifying the physical body. That will happen through physical acts, but it won't happen through a physical act alone.
Right. Right.
It can't. A mindless physical act will get rewarded, but it will not be rewarded in the next world, and it will not have the impact on the body of preparing it so that it itself can even stand before the king, which was a goal that he said was to elevate the body where even the body is fit to stand before the king.
Mm-hmm.
It won't have that impact if it's an empty, just physical shell of an act. There has to be the underlying purpose. Okay, I set a goal and so left, and we didn't set a goal. That's why we did very little inside. This becomes setting a goal, so we're going to finish this section. Yadua Maimar, the Rebbe, the. I think it's Rebbe Loza. The Ibn Ezer. I forget exactly. The Ibn Ezer, one of the commentaries on the Chumash, said as follows: Reike Moyach, those of empty brains, of small minds, Yitzmahu, have the following question: Ma Asa Moshe Bahar Arboim Yom Barboim La? What was Moshe doing for 40 days and 40 nights? It took that long. They ask, he needed to spend 40 days and 40 nights on Har Sinai. He says, I've heard this question. This question comes from people who have little understanding. When they ask, why did it take Moshe so long? He had to be there 40 days and 40 nights. V'lo yodu im ya'amot shom im Hashem kemisper azev kefil kiflei shanim. They don't understand, people who ask this question. He could have stood there for years and years and years and years. Lo yuchol da'as chelek me'elef mimaisei Hashem udrochov. He would not have understood a thousandth of the actions of Hashem, or His ways, or the secrets of all of the mitzvos. 40 days, they ask, why was He there for so long? He could have spent years, and He wouldn't have gotten us an ounce, an inkling of Hashem, His mitzvos, ki yachshivu ki hamaisa ikar. The people who ask that question, do you know what they think? He writes, they think that the maisa is the ikar, the act is the principal part of the mitzvah. But it's not true, he writes. It's the heart and the action. So it's in your mouth and in your heart to do. As the Gemara says, Rachmana Libo boy. What does Hashem really want from us? What does He want? He wants Libo. What's a lave?
Heart.
Wants our heart. The Gemara says, Rachman Ali, all He wants is your heart. He doesn't want your action. He wants your heart. The Shoresh Kol HaMitzvos, and the source, the root of all mitzvos, SheYe'ehav Es Hashem B'chol Nafsho V'yadabik Bo. That you should love Hashem with all your soul and cling to Him. End of the words of the Ibn Ezer. Says Rav Olda, it seems, what was the mistake of the people who asked the question? What was He doing there for? Their mistake was that they thought that the Torah is all about the actions. Do this, don't do this. Not this, but this. That's a list of rules. So they asked, if it's a list of rules, who needs 40? A bright person can get through the Torah in less time and learn all the rules. They can learn all the things that you can do and all the things that you can't do. They'll be able to pick it up. He says, but the answer that the Ibn Ezra gave, he says, you're missing the point. It's not about your actions. It's about the combination of your heart and your actions. Rahman Ali Baboy, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem just wants our heart. And with the heart, when you bring that in, he says, there's not enough years in eternity for a human being to fully understand and fully be able to connect his heart with all that's being asked of him to do. Ein lo gvul. There's no boundary to the heart. There's no boundary to the understanding, to the amount of love that a person... Is there ever such a thing of a couple saying, I now love my wife as much as I ever could. Yeah, we're done. We've reached the climax of how much my heart can take. There's no such thing. There's no boundary. There's no end. There's no limit. Physical things are limited. My stomach is limited. I can only eat so much pizza. I love pizza. There's a point where I'm not able to eat anymore. But the heart has no limit. There's no such thing as a person, it's only someone who doesn't have children can say, wow, you have 5 children? How can you love them all? Are you kidding me? What does that mean? There's no limit. You can ask, how can you spend the time that you want to with each? My time is limited. But to say that I can't love, there's no such thing. So he says the heart, which is the principal part of the service of Hashem, even in the physical acts that we do, how much we think about, how much we connect, how much we use the heart in our physical act, there's no end. 40 days didn't come close to what Moshe really needed. And when the lev, when the heart is the one that is fulfilling Torah, learning Torah, fulfilling the mitzvos, then it is magdil u'ma'adir Torah l'enshir, then it expands and beautifies Torah to a point where there's no end. And Moshe Rabbeinu haya omer al ha-sinai shonam al, he could have stood there for years. Adayin lo haya libo omer dai, his heart would have never said enough. There would have never come a point where his heart would have said, okay, I got it all, I'm finished. Hu asher amar, just give me to the last paragraph. This is what we have said in the explanation of the words of the Chovas Halvavos. When a person builds his Chovas Ha'ivorim, minikudas halev, when he builds his external acts, when he builds the acts that he does with his body from a point of his inner heart, meaning from the fulfillment of the Chovas Halvavos, when he comes to develop this idea, then the essence of his revealed mitzvah really is flipped and becomes a hidden mitzvah. It enters into the world of being hidden. And his guf, ha'adam, the physical body, becomes a source of revealing the kvod shamayim. So that the two of us are putting on tefillin together, two of us are putting on tzitzis together, but they're two totally separate acts. One is a revealed act. I see exactly what's going on. I saw exactly what happened. He put on tzitzis. What else happened? Nothing. That's what happened. Versus the next person puts on tefillin, puts on his tzitzis, and I have no idea what's really going on. There's lots of stuff going on. It actually is meaning something to me. It's impacting him. He's thinking about something as he's doing it, but that's totally hidden and not revealed to me at all. I have no idea what's going on inside. And that is the, and that's this section, developing this idea that there are two parts. The opening of the section was with the question, how do these two things come together? I have the revealed service, which I do with my physical body. I have the hidden service, which I do with my neshama, which is most fit to give praise to Hashem. Let the one who has these 5 qualities come and give praise to the one who has the same 5 qualities. How do they work together? When you develop your chovas halvavos, when you develop that neshama, you begin to feel spirituality, which he said, what's the primary way of doing that? I begin to get used to the fact that somebody sees me. I begin to build my inner world when there's an inner world going on. And that inner world is comprised of, no one else knows what I'm thinking, but I'm beginning to develop a relationship in the inside with Hashem. Not just because I keep kosher, and I keep Shabbos, and I put on tefillin, and I wear my tzitzis. Because inside, I'm becoming aware of His presence. I'm just, as my day goes on, there are just points in the time of my day in which I say, I'm being watched. As that happens, that will filter into your putting on your tzitzis. If you get used to thinking that when you're hammering your nails, you'll think about that when you put on your tzitzis also. And what that will happen is, again, this is still just theoretical, will begin to actually develop when those tzitzis go on. It will take on meaning. The complaint that I always get is, I'm not feeling anything. I'm doing mitzvahs. I'm not doing anything for me, Rabbi. Yeah, of course not. What are you working on as you're doing it? He says explicitly, that's what he says. It's not going to do anything for you. You're doing a this worldly act and expecting otherworldly responses. You're going to start feeling spiritual and floating. You got to work on developing an inner world. When you begin to develop, and again, he's saying this requires a building. When that builds, and that's there, then the physical acts that you do will also take on a more spiritual component. They'll take on a greater meaning. It actually flips into a hidden type of act as well. So the homework for this week is, I would start on the easier part. I don't know if it's easier or less easy. You could tell me whether or not it's easier to focus on it when you're actually doing a mitzvah, when the tzitzis are going on, when the tefillin is going on, or just during other points of the day. But I think this is what I would do. I don't have your email, I don't think. But we should just exchange emails. And you have a BlackBerry? And you have a BlackBerry?
I have a phone with email.
Phone with email? So if I send you an email, you get it on your phone? Mm-hmm. So what I would suggest, what I would like to do, is that each one of the four of us be responsible for, I'm figuring out the right way to do this, I'm thinking like three times a day, just having such a thought, and sending off an email. It could be blank, you don't have to do anything, but just go out, would you like create a group list, mm-hmm. so that not only do I get, am I responsible, but I will get little beeps, mm-hmm. from each one.
We're going to get so many blank emails.
Maybe we can do down to two or three, but there should be a way of just nothing more than I am being watched. Mm-hmm. Being watched. So I don't need into your inner worlds. I don't need it to be I'm being watched while I was building someone's sink and I thought I need to be honest and do a good job. And therefore, even I could have cut the, I don't need all that. Just a matter of there was a thought at some point that I did something because I'm being watched. I didn't, you know, in my case, I didn't spend the extra 3 minutes, you know, reading the news, which is just a waste of time because I need to be doing something else. And I didn't do it because I'm aware of the fact that I'm being watched. And it's just becoming part of my life that is a regular thing which goes on. And because of that, I'm familiar with that and I live my life accordingly. So that is, otherwise I want us to hold each other accountable as opposed to just saying, coming in here Thursday and saying, did you do it? There should be a way of keeping track of the fact that that's becoming part of my life. And then what's going to happen next week, Mirat Hashem, is then we'll then take that to the next step of how do we then, once we get into that pattern where that becomes part of an existence, how does that then affect that when I'm putting on my tzitzis in the morning, it's not just so I put on my socks and my pants and my tzitzis and my shirts, nothing else happened, that actually became part of that as well. And then we need to build. You can see, obviously, where that goes. I then build a relationship with tzitzis. What do tzitzis do for me? Well, if I'm in that mode, we'll get there. Right now, it's just fear. Like, what am I supposed to be thinking when I put on my tzitzis? We're not there yet. Something. What am I supposed to do when I'm putting on my tefillin? Right now, it's nothing. Something. There should be something more there when we're not there yet, but there just it's that thought process of building an inner world of an acknowledgement of the Chayroi. There is someone who is watching even though I can't see him, and it just becomes part of my everyday thought process. Okay. Until next week. Ritz Hashem.